Reading from the book we call Hebrews, chapter 11 and 12, but I won't read it all. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understood that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that were not visible. By faith, we know the stories about Abel and Enoch, Noah and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson and Jephthah, and David and Samuel, and the prophets. Those weak who became strong, those who faced jeers, the ones the world treats badly, and those who were commended for their faith. Therefore, since we are so surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Words of wisdom, words of truth. Thanks be to God. If you have been, and I know not all of you have been, but if you've been around Battle Creek First Presbyterian since the beginning of 2017, you may remember that you are helping me prove that it is truly possible to keep a New Year's resolution. That my resolution back in January was to study the Bible book that we call Hebrews. And here it is, mid-September, and I am still plugging away at Hebrews, which proves that if you set an attainable goal with witnesses, you're more likely to attain it. And I have one more sermon from Hebrews 12 scheduled in November in the middle of stewardship. And Hebrews 13 has a lot of the worship phrases, benedictions, and offering things that we've been using. So, ta-da, we almost have done it. Hebrews, you may remember, is probably not a letter like a lot of the other books in our New Testament, but is a sermon manuscript or transcript sent to a young Christian community that was getting discouraged. And it reads like a sermon. It's got this crescendo, and chapters 11 and 12 are the grand conclusion, and you get the drum roll, and here comes the main point. And my favorite commentary, the interpretation commentary, points out that the way chapter 11 starts, which is the big climax speech, begins with this definition of faith, the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. And then systematic theologians point out that, boy, that statement is incomplete. That faith as a concept is large and round and complex. And this preacher's description just takes a few degrees of this circumference, but this preacher is not preaching dogmatics. He's not making an encyclopedia about faith. He's preaching a sermon, and he's crafting a definition to meet the goals. In other words, you do not want your preacher to fully explain in depth every theological concept every time in every sermon. Well, a few of you might, but most of you do not want that kind of depth. And Hebrews here, the writer, the speaker is pushing hard to make the point that faith is what we believe God can do without requiring proof that God will do it. It's believing. And the preacher to the Hebrews, oh, he preaches it. My seminary preaching professor, who I understand is going to be in town this week at some breakfast that CityLink is putting on, the Lyft lunch? Lyft lunch. So if you go into the Lyft lunch, you'll meet my preaching professor. So anyway, my preaching professor said you got to use a lot of scripture when you preach to back yourself up, because you're not backing yourself up. Scripture's backing you up. And the preacher of Hebrews does the same thing. Must have had the same professor. He's a local boy, too. My preaching professor was a Battle Creek boy. I'm home. Anyway, almost every one of the Old Testament stories that we teach our kids, that we learned, are included in this Hebrews 11 list. All the main ones are there, all the patriarchs, even some of the important women are there. You heard the names. Then there's Barack. It's probably not Obama. I did have to look that story up. And then there's Jephthah, and that one had escaped my memory. I guarantee it's not in our children's storybook Bible. You might want to look that one up. Anybody know Jephthah story right off the top of your head? Yeah, look that one up. It's definitely not in there. But it's memorable. Most of you, I won't ask you to show hands. Many of you know those Old Testament stories. Maybe not all of them. It's supposed to be hot and stormy today. Get a concordance, an easy-to-read translation of the Bible that includes all the stories, not like that. Look up some of these by faith accounts. See what this preacher was preaching about. If it's a daunting task, if only half of those names sound familiar, just take a few. Read about those actions taken in faith, deeds that were done that might not make any sense except they were God-directed, that people did what they did because God spoke to them directly or indirectly, and they acted by faith. And faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And maybe God's trying to convict you that you need to spend a little more time looking at your Bible, or in Christian service, or in Christian fellowship. And there are all sorts of ways that you can learn how to do that around here or in this community. But wait, there's more in the middle of Hebrews 11, because I want you to be in the middle of Hebrews 11. I want you to be one of those people in the middle of Hebrews 11 when it talks about the generations. Because it's even talking about you and our generation. See, it isn't only about 3,000 years ago. When I think about people I know who are Christ followers, I think about the people mentioned in Hebrews 11, people like in verse 13 where it says, all of these people continued living with faith until they died. And verse 34, where it says, some who are weak were made strong. And 36, where it says, some were laughed at. And verse 38, where it says, the world was not worthy of some of these people. There are people today that do amazing things because they are led by God to do so. There are people in this room that do amazing things because they are led by God to do so. and especially verse 39 talks about you and your generation and all the people of faith before you that were commended for their faith. Are the stories that people remember and tell about you going to be ones that commend you for your faith? Last week, Pastor Jeff talked about this church's core values. They're in the bulletin. Our presbytery, our regional group of 64 Presbyterian churches, has recently defined our core values, saying, "We seek God's way of grace and justice through inclusion, formation, and inspiration." Those are group core values. What about your personal core values? Do you know what they are? Do other people know what your core values are? Are they obvious? Are you leading by example? By good example? What stories do people tell? What stories do you tell about what's important to you? Does it point toward an honest, faithful life of trusting God? Will others know that you are a Christian by your love, by your love? Will they know you're a Christian by your love? My mother used to love to tell the story about when she was a young woman in 1944, so she would have been 22. And she took her chubby, and I mean chubby, toddler son, my oldest brother, on a bus from Kalamazoo to Tallahassee, Florida. He must have weighed 25 pounds, and he was a year and a half. She was going to see her husband, who was being deployed to the European theater. And the baby threw his last glass bottle on that trip. And of course, there were only cloth diapers. And she was dealing with constant motion sickness and a toddler's curiosity on a bus. And what did I learn from that story? That a woman with faith and a plan and love can do just about anything she sets her mind to. And I think I'm here today, at least in part, because that woman passed on that message, that God could help you get through any journey that you wanted. This passage from Hebrews 11 is often labeled generations of faith. Somebody has influenced you to be here today. Maybe it wasn't a family member. A minute is a long time to be silent in church, at least for this church. So I'm going to give you 1 minute of silence to think of somebody or something, no, somebody, who was a very positive example for you, like my mother was with her grit. Think about a person. Think of the example of somebody besides Jesus that you would like to follow. You got a minute and the clock has started. If you have the opportunity today or in the near future, preferably today, share the story you just considered with somebody else. If you can, share it with the person who inspires you. If they have already gone to God, share the story with someone who loved them, with a call or a note. Commend them, just as God did. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's the verse. The sons with plenty to praise their fathers asked for when arranging funeral services. And then think about the path you're choosing, and are you like these people in the middle of Hebrews? Be in the middle. I know stories and examples that are hard to forget that go the other way too. Times when I am startled by good people who enjoy beating the system or who pick giant profits over helping people, or the times when I am preparing funerals and the adult children sit with lips tight and arms crossed and they're not able to find a way to bring up good words to say about their dead parent. And we all make mistakes, I get that. We frequently find ourselves in circumstances when we make the bad worse, that we compound the negative. We can turn things around. We can redeem situations. And when we build walls, we can try to take them down neatly and carefully and gently. When we are constantly looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and took his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him for more than a minute. Consider him who endured such hostility. Don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. You live in a world of free choice. Sure, lots of things happen to you that are outside of your control. But there are things that you can choose. Choose to be one of those who live in the middle of Hebrews 11, who live by faith. Now, we are saved by the work of God through the sacrifice of Jesus, not by the good works of us. Don't get me wrong. Don't get this confused. Being a good person isn't the point, but honoring God and living a life that pleases God and makes our world better, not worse. That's the goal for all those who follow in the way of righteousness, because by grace you are saved. Through faith, thanks be to God. And the chancel choir concludes my message.